Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, food, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories covering all aspects of eating disorders, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, boutique, shop till you drop, and much, much more. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website. Act fast. Rooms sell out quickly. Why? There is a solution. You will hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because, together, we get better.
Welcome to the old school meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, featuring speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific. And now, our speaker.
My name is Lonnie. I am a compulsive overeater, and I have to thank Bonnie, Joe, and Ira, and all who give service and who are here today for letting me speak. I can't do my pictures electronically, but I'm going to see if I can just hold them up quickly, just two. And they were actually taken. These were taken about 6 years before I actually got to OA. And let's see if that's one right there. And I was at that point, if not over 300 pounds, was heading in that direction. And that was taken in 1980 at a cruise. So, wow, what it was like. Hey, it was over 300 pounds. It was 340 to be exact. And how it got there. Well, let's see. I ate everything that, you know, didn't move. I'm a 100% sugar addict. I am a compulsive overeater, and it was all I knew how to do to cope with the life that I was always trying to escape, that I created for myself. Well, I was actually born into earlier, but yes, but I created it for myself, and I was always trying to escape from it. And escape for me was food. I'm not the other things. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I'm a compulsive overeater, sort of just garden variety, just run wild, out of control, and didn't really understand a whole lot of stuff. I remember one day seeing myself in a reflection near the old 100-pounder meeting in Westwood and not understanding how I got there. Well, how I got there was how I ate everything. That's how I got there. But it was such a transition from the person I remembered as a younger woman growing up. And I did not necessarily want to come to Overeaters Anonymous. What I wanted was something magical, always. Is there a magic bullet, a pill? Is there something that I can say or do that will not stop me from compulsive overeating, which was providing no pleasure for me by the time I met you? Can I find that magical thing so I can continue to do that and just not gain weight? That is totally unrealistic thinking, but that is where I was. Is there something I can do? Because I didn't want to stop any of my behaviors. I kind of liked most of my behaviors. Funny, because I've had to relearn much better behaviors in the years that I've been with you, but I just didn't want to keep going. And I could see that I was going to keep going. I just didn't get that part. So here I am. It's like, the holiday season for 1985 holiday season means, oh my God, I went to Costco the other day and there's already Christmas stuff out, people. And I'm like, give me a break. I can't go anywhere without walking into 48 feet of Halloween candy right now, but there's Christmas stuff already out at Costco. But the holiday season for me meant food, sugar, movies, books, just recycle over and over again so I could run and hide and escape. And while I went to the movies and all that, I'd take my girls with me and I gave Jolly Fat Woman and decorated the house and did all this wonderful stuff. And I was miserable, absolutely miserable. And I couldn't stop doing what I was doing. So here it comes, January. We know what happens in January. We'll watch this meeting increase in January. Here it is in January, and I'm having thoughts, and a friend reaches out And she sends, we worked at the same company, though, different areas. And she sends me a piece of literature. It was orange, caught my attention. And it was Overeaters Anonymous. And I thought, oh, I remember quite a few years ago answering an article in the LA Times from either Ann Landers / Dear Abby, because, you know, they were interchangeable. And I sent an envelope and I sent a thing and I was going to get it. And I did. And it came to the office because I didn't want anything to go to my home, because God forbid somebody should know that I was having difficulty eating. And it went to the office. And that was the day I didn't get the mail. Somebody else got the mail and she left it on my desk. And, you know, I had put Overeaters Anonymous on the return address, on the return envelope. Of course I did. And I was so embarrassed, but I did open it. And it was a directory of meetings at the time. This is January. Well, no, this was way before January 1986. But anyway, I opened this thing up. And when I called the number to get information on the meetings, it was Richie's voice. And I will never forget that, directing me to go to some church down in the basement, whatever it was. And I backed off and I never went. But I did know that you existed, and that was it. I never went. Fast forward to 1986. I get this thing and I tell my friend, yes, I'll go. And I go to my first meeting. The first meeting was in Westchester, the same place where the 100-pounder meeting met for years until COVID shut us down. And I went in there and there was 10 of us. Well, there were 10 other people. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, okay, I'm going to do this because I need to do something, because it's January 1986. Everybody should do something in January, and I need to do something. And I went and I got nothing. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the truth. Two things happened that I did get. I bought the AA's 12 and 12. That was our literature at the time that we used, because, you know, we didn't have our own 12 and 12. And I heard you guys speak, and you guys said your name, and you identified what your disease, you identified who you were and what you were. And I was like, wow. So my job was to let you know that I'm a good reader. I'm very gifted in two languages, English and profane. And I spoke a lot of profane in those days, not so much today. I flavor today like a fine, delicate right on top. But, you know, in those days, it was just all over the place. And I went home and I bought the book because I'll read the book. I'll find out what the secret that you guys do. And I'm done. Never have to do any of this other stuff again. Don't want to be with all of you guys. Don't need a. And I meant that. And I was. And I read the book and I didn't find the secret. It just, you know, I don't know. I read it for the plot. And the next Tuesday rolled around and my friend called me. And, you know, in those days, to define my food and much of my character, I was a liar, a cheat, a sneak, and a thief. That's what I was, and that's what I did about food, and especially, and other things too. And she knew me well. And I couldn't think of a good enough lie that I could sell her on that telephone call to not go back to that room again for that second meeting. And so very reluctantly, I went back to that room again for that second meeting, book in hand, because I knew now there were people. You guys had a name for yourself. There was a book. I would fit in. And I went, and the second meeting, second time, didn't know a thing about 12 steps, Overeaters Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, any other anonymous, God only knows. And I, as I was exiting that second time, I'm still pretty much convinced I got a lot of television to watch, a lot of food to eat, and I need to go home. And I was stopped at the door by someone I came to love with all of my heart. And she became my sponsor and my dearest friend after that. And she just said to me, Lonnie, she says, whatever you're eating, I want you to not worry about it. Lonnie, don't worry about what you're eating. No one in my life had said that to me. I was born 12 pounds, 8 ounces. Okay. No one. I mean, they could have saved me a piece of cake and bought me a tricycle. They knew I was coming and they knew it was going to be big. And I looked at her and she was just drop dead beautifully gorgeous. And I thought, why would she say that to me? I'm the biggest person in the room. But, you know, I sat in the parking lot and I thought, that's really interesting. And the funny thing was, I never planned to go back to the meeting. And I went back to the meeting the third time because now I'm familiar and I've also been warmly welcomed. And I don't have a history of always being warmly welcomed. So Within another week or so, she did everything she could, and she did, and she got me to another meeting, which was the 100-pounder meeting in Westwood in Los Angeles, West Los Angeles, which was very different from that meeting. It was a huge, 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 loud, ruckus, rowdy group of people. Oh, my ever-loving, save me from these people. And I'm in the back of the room, and I can't get out of the room without calling attention to myself. And I was horrified. I always thought of it as I'm looking at a bug in a mayonnaise jar or something. I got to get out of here. And when I leave, by the time the meeting is over, and when I leave and I get in the car and I'm sitting in my car and I'm reflecting on what I've just seen, very different from that early meeting with the book and everything. And I thought, oh my God, these people are awful. And they're just like me. They are just like me. She guided me well. And I sat there, and I did not marry Overeaters Anonymous, but I thought I'll date for a while. And so now I'm going to 2 meetings a week. Got that little one on Tuesday night and got this big raucous group of people that I'm attracted to in such a way that I definitely found my home. And today, here it is, you know, September 2023, and every Thursday night, I'm still married to that same meeting. It's now on Zoom, and it looks like we might be returning to maybe a hybrid or something soon. That's in the discussion, not for me to talk about right now. So with that, that's like how I got here in the state I got here in. And I'd like to read something quickly. And it's from R for Today, from August the 19th, and one of my favorite reads. I can always find it because it's all marked up. It says, "The remedy of all blunders, the cure of blindness, the cure of crime is love." Ralph Waldo Emerson. "All growth, all healing depends on love. Love is what God is all about. A loving God, as I understand God, does not preach or dictate or threaten. God is my backer, supportive of me no matter what I do. God does not make deals. Do this and I'll do that. God does not bully or punish or say, I told you so. God listens and accepts me as I am, loves me as I am. God doesn't give advice. God knows that learning comes only from experience. Experience I am not led to until I am ready. For today, God's perfect love is mine anytime I am willing to receive it. I let go of the God of my childhood and believe with all my heart in this God that brought me here and gave me new life." And I'd like to just talk about that part of my program for right now. First off, I am abstinent. I've been abstinent since February the 28th, 1986. And I was never capable of taking, I came in after gray sheet. Oh, thank you, God. I was not capable of taking a cup and measuring my food at that time. What I was capable of doing at that time was I was capable of allowing my meals to begin and end. Breakfast could start and stop. Lunch could start and stop, and dinner could start and stop. And a most miraculous thing happened to me as a result of that was that I was able to understand and accept that I could live without dying from dinner that night until breakfast the next morning, and I would be okay. If I could do it on that day, which was a Friday, I could probably maybe do it on Saturday. How I got through that first weekend, God only knows. And that was how it began for me. Very large meals, beginning and ending, and going forward to learn. I'm still learning today. I still have belly fat today. I'm not what I tell my doctor that I need to be. I'm not tall and thin with the high pointy breast. That is not my story. I think it should be my story because I've been abstaining for a long time, and it's not my story. And my doctor says it's probably not going to be, and I don't want to hear that necessarily, but I'm on the path. I no longer compulsively overeat. I no longer even hardly have thoughts of food very much. And when I do, like the other day, food thoughts rushed in on me and I was, what? What's going on? Oh, yeah, it was 2:30 in the afternoon and I hadn't had lunch. Oh, I had the lunch. Okay. World evened itself back out. I also have a spiritual practice today. I didn't come here to find a spiritual practice. I found out from you that food was not my problem. Food was my solution. Food was the thing that was not going to solve anything for me. And that if I was going to solve my problems, I was going to have a spiritual solution. Well, wait a minute. I kind of grew up going to church. You know, I should know. I've seen that not exactly work well. And yet in other ways, it can. But I needed to have a belief. And I was guided to find how to connect to a power greater than myself. I'm trying to be specific in how I say that, because I was not guided to create a power greater than myself. I am not capable of creating a power greater than myself. If I could, I would have done that, my history would have gone a different direction. What I am capable of is maybe connecting to a power greater than me that I'd not ever learned how to connect before. Not create, connect. Oh, that's kind of different. Might be part the God of my childhood, maybe, maybe not. I didn't have issues with God. I understood God completely. God forgot me when he was taking care of stuff, because I was just, you know, he had a lot of stuff to take care of, and my stuff just wasn't quite enough. And I accepted that as a child, and it's kind of a sad thing. So I have this sugar addiction also. Once I start, I can't stop. I start, there's not a stop in me. I have fear of that. And I also have immunity from that. I get the immunity by not trying to eat it. I don't care. I don't chase it. I don't want the fake stuff that looks like the real stuff. Tried that for about 15 minutes and bombed on that one really good. Okay. So my life can easily be lived. And I don't think of, oh, Lonnie, all are you never going to have? I don't have to worry about that. You know what? Today is Tuesday and I still have dinner coming. Life is good. You know, it's going to look just like dinner looked yesterday. Wow. What a joy on that. But I, because I don't chase the sugar. And the last thing is bad food behaviors, meaning I don't hide in the dark. In fact, I don't eat in the dark. I don't hide in the car. There's no shame about my meals. This is my meal. I think I gave up guilt and shame for Lent some few years ago, and I never took it back. But I try to live a life today that has meals in it and laughter and joy and some prayers and sometimes anxiety and sometimes fear and what's going to happen with global warming in the universe. Can I fix that tonight? It's Tuesday. It's about 6. Thank you. 2 minutes. So I got a couple more minutes to go here. I can't fix any of that, but you know what I can do? I can offer prayers of all of the people that I can think of and see, and I can try to be just a teeny bit better than I was yesterday. Not a whole lot, don't scare me, but I can be a teeny bit better than I was yesterday. I can connect and not disconnect. I understand the difference between that. And I can eat my meal. By the way, my sponsor is still giving my list of my food. I had a long talk with her today. And then I'll watch some bad television and Bruce Willis will blow up something wonderful and say bad words. And I'll be the happiest girl you ever saw for a Tuesday night. And you know what? When I get up in the morning, and I'm going to end on this one, I open my eyes and I accept the gift. And it's a very precious gift to me. And I've shared this often. It is freedom from the bondage of compulsive overeating, freedom from the bondage of the sugar poison, and freedom from the bondage of bad food behavior. And then I invite. I like invitations. And so I invite God, my higher power, into my thoughts and my words, my actions, my reactions, my service and my exercise, and what else? Meditation and prayer. I invite God into my belly fat. I've decided it's his belly fat. You take care of it. I'm not contributing to it. Now let me not worry about it and make myself crazy. I will also invite you into my plate. Quantity and quality. May it be quality and may the quantity be exactly right for me and enough. Thank you for that. And there's a couple of other things I tag in there, but that's kind of how it works for me today. My solutions are not in a 7-Eleven or any other wild place, yet I can walk in there and not worry about them because I'm not going to try it. My solution has to be my connection to the power that saves me from my own destructive self. And so for one more day, I get to be a good and happy person and to be a part of you and to let you be a part of me. That to me is the really most important thing. I think that is my time. Thank you so much for letting me share.